Welcome back. 4:50 at 7:30 a.m. 102.9 FM WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times, and I'm joined now by Valerie Richardson, Washington Times reporter, who has a story in today's Washington Times. California governor takes risk with proposal to raise taxes. Hello, Valerie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Andy?
I'm doing just fine. Your opening line made me laugh out loud. There's something cruel yet comical in the way California voters continually elect Democrats and then forbid them from raising taxes. You know, that's absolutely true, and we've seen it happen time and time again.
Yeah, California, as you know, is completely dominated by Democrats. I think the Republican registration right now in the state is below 30% or right at 30%. I mean, the Republican Party is practically a third party at this point in California. Democrats, you know, dominate, and yet the voters never approve tax increases. So you kind of wonder what's going on there sometimes.
Yeah, and Jerry Brown is begging for more money. I can only assume that they're still out of money. They don't have any.
Well, you know, the state obviously has been in financial trouble for quite some time, and it certainly preceded Jerry Brown. They've got what they call it, the wall of debt of about $13 billion. They've got holes in the budget every year that they have to, you know, scramble to fill. And yeah, so they've gone back to the voters this time around. I think that the climate hasn't been as good in the last couple of cycles, but I think they're very hopeful, Brown and the Democrats, that they can get the Prop 30 passed, Proposition 30, which would add an additional $6 billion in revenue to the budget.
And how are they going to do this? They take it from Obama's rich 250K crowd?
Right. It's funny how that's the number that they picked, which is the same number that President Obama has picked to basically describe who's going to have their taxes raised. Anyone making, any single filer making over $250,000 a year would see an increase in their income tax. And it would be a graduated, progressive sort of tax, so the more you make, the higher your income tax rate would be. And they also would like to increase the sales tax, which is already the highest in the nation. The sales tax right now is already at 7.25%. They would bring it up to 7.5% for 4 years. Both of these taxes would be temporary. They have, in other words, they have a grandfathering point.
Yeah, wink, wink.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, we've heard that before. All right, and so can I assume that the money would be used for, let me guess here, teachers, police, or firefighters, one of those?
The big thing is education. In California right now, they have something called Proposition 98 that passed a few years ago that basically says that, you know, education has to receive half of all new revenues coming in. And so you don't really have to say this revenue would go toward education. It's automatic. It would go toward education. But, yes, education is the big push. The California Teachers Association is the big backer of this measure. They are really supporting it heavily in terms of financing. Apparently, they also had it ahead in writing up the measure. And they, as well as the service employees unions, are the ones that are really supporting this. And yes, they're saying education, but obviously money is fungible and presumably it would go to other government programs as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, here it is again. It's the same old story. You got the unions involved, and of course they're going to support it, and they're going to advertise, they're going to advocate for it because it pays off in the end for them. And yet,
right.
And yet Californians, like people in other places, I mean, right here, you know, in Maryland where I live, I mean, they fall for it all the time, and I just don't get it. It's a scam.
Well, I'll tell you that the thing about California voters, though, is that they don't like to approve tax increases. I mean, they haven't approved a tax increase in a number of years, one in, I think, the last decade. And right now, Prop 30 is hanging in there with 51%. That is not a good number. I was just reading today that the unions have put more money into the campaign, but actually where they've had to put even more money than in the Prop 30 campaign is Proposition 32, which would basically eliminate automatic payroll deductions for government employees for union fees. In other words, they couldn't automatically take union fees or union dues out of your paycheck when you work for the government.
Right.
And that is huge. If that were to pass, that would be devastating to unions, and so they are putting most of their money in there. I just was reading today in the Sacramento Bee that apparently the No 132 money is now past $60 million. So the one thing that is kind of against Prop 30 this year is that the unions they're having to fight battles on several fronts, and they haven't been able to devote as much attention to this measure as they would have liked.
Yeah. What do Republicans say about that? You know, I know you say their presence is very small, about 30% there, but how do they feel about all of these, you know, attempts to raise taxes?
Well, they're definitely against them, and I will tell you that the No on 30 campaign has actually been pretty pretty scrappy. They have not been, they are been outspent, but not by, you know, as much as you might think. There's a group called the Small Business Action Committee that's been donating to the No on 30 effort. You have other people who have been donating. They've raised pretty good money, and they have definitely come out and made the argument that Californians can't afford this, that it's just going to push more taxpayers out of the state because, as you know, you can cross state lines if you don't like the tax rate, and Californians are.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely are losing population. And so, and I think this argument has been compelling to voters who are already not particularly disposed to support these tax increases, and, you know, the ads and the campaign, it sounds like, has been pretty successful. Prop 30's support has been, this is pretty typical for all propositions, but its support has been dwindling since it's got on the ballot, and at the rate it's at, it looks like it may go under 50% unless something big happens.
Yeah. So the odds on November 6th of this stuff flying is kind of iffy?
You know, there's also one thing about California that's interesting this year, too, is they don't really have a really big race that people are excited about. That's one problem of having sort of one-party rule. They know Obama's going to win California. They know Dianne Feinstein's going to win the Senate race, both of whom are Democrats. So people don't really feel like it's that urgent that they get out to the polls. And Prop 30 has got to have high voter turnout to pass. If it's low voter turnout, then what will happen is the people who are really against the tax increase are going to overwhelm the people who are in favor of it.
Yeah. So if it does go down, where does Jerry Brown get the money? Does he rob trust funds like our governor does in Maryland?
Well, it's interesting because I was asking that question, and pretty much what everyone's saying is there's no plan B. He does not have a plan to get more money, and he has stated that he will follow through with a series of what they call trigger cuts that will be automatically triggered if the measure fails. And that's kind of, you know, a scare tactic that the other side is saying, oh, come on, he's not really going to do that. But he's saying, no, that's what I'm going to do. They're going to cut funding to K-12 education. They're saying that could result in the elimination of several weeks of the school year. They're talking about having to hike up tuition again at the University of California. And obviously, these are things that have got people, that would have people nervous, but at the same time, you are hearing a certain amount of, you know, they've done this before and it's never happened, so we're not going to worry about it now.
Yeah. One final thing. Jerry Brown is puzzling to me because obviously he was governor there, you know, many, many years ago and
yes,
a successful governor. Mm-hmm. He ran for the presidency and then, you know, he ends up back in that position again. Why at his age would you want to subject yourself to the punishment of being governor of California? Did he need the money? Because it's certainly not to build some kind of future in politics.
No, I think he's just, I think the one thing you can say about Jerry Brown is he is somebody who's, you know, pretty dedicated to public service. I mean, he has been in it his entire life. After he was governor and ran unsuccessfully for president, he kind of took a few years off, and then he became mayor of Oakland, California, another thankless job. And next thing you know, he was attorney general, and then he was governor again. He kind of climbed his way back up, and I think it's one of those deals where this is what he knows. I mean, he became governor at such a young age. He's been in public service his entire life. And I think the hope was that because, obviously, this is probably his last job in politics, he's not trying to build a career, that he would be able to make some of the tough decisions and stand up to some of the public employee unions that, you know, are whose past contracts have really put the state into a budget bind. And I think to a certain extent he's done that, but maybe not as much as people would like. And clearly this proposition, you know, makes it look like he's basically doing the union's bidding.
Yeah. All right, Valerie, always great to talk to you. Thank you much, folks. If you haven't checked it out, California Governor Takes Risk with Proposal to Raise Taxes. It's in today's Washington Times. See you later.
Talk to you later.
Bye.